So we're wrapping up our collection of conversations centered around this idea of stronghold. Now, this is week 7, and for some of us, we're like, glad it's over. I'm one of them. I like yelling at you, but I'm tired of yelling at you, which is why it's really fun today, because I get to kind of paint stronghold in a different light. I've been very intentional at the very beginning of this series to make sure that we viewed stronghold as a negative thing. Because one of the very first things we do as Christians is we hear the word stronghold and we're like, yeah, let's do it. This is a great thing. We're going to become fortified. We know what's happening around us and that's what we're going to live in. But what we don't fully realize is these strongholds have a deeper impact in our life. And it's more of a negative connotation that comes with it. We've worked through stronghold of the mind. Our mindsets that we have, the way we view things, with our plausibility structure, just the way that we have been raised up in our environment, and then we try to digest that in the way we live. We battled the stronghold of the mind. We battled the stronghold of the worldview and how it's so easy for culture to influence us in our ways and then dictate the way we respond, rather than allowing the Word of God to be the source and the only source of which we look to. Then we battled personal autonomy, where we think we need personal peace and we can find it ourselves apart from God, away from His grace and away from His mercy, and we become angry in it and we become autonomous to the point where we think we can do it all on our own, right? Then we battled comfort, where we live in this kind of world where we need to be comfortable. Everything about our lives is geared and centered towards what can I gain, what can I attain, what can I achieve to make my life as comfortable as it's going to be. If I've only got 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm living in luxury, rather than understanding the scriptures say you will suffer. But you rejoice in the suffering because God is good. You with me? And then we battled commitment issues. How we as people, not just Christians, but we as a people, humans, are struggling to commit to anything with fear of missing out, and you only live once, those kind of mentalities. We battled the stronghold of that, and then we battled one of the most difficult ones for any of us, and the stronghold of intentional immaturity. The position where we're okay where we're at, and we don't care if we grow, and we don't care if we get dumber. Remember, we're full of wisdom and not wisdom. Wisdom, do you and B? Nobody? You're not with me. It's going to be one of those days. You're with me? Thank you. So we've been battling these strongholds, but today I want to reset, refocus, and revitalize that word for us in a positive light. If you don't mind, we're going to stand for God's word. It's a simple reading, and then my goal today, my entire goal for today, is to be very, very simple, to bring everything to a conclusion, and then point us to the thing that matters the most. So we're going to be reading out of 2 Samuel, chapter 22, verses 2 through 4. And it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Let's pray. God, thank you for this word. Thank you for your word. Not just any word, but the word of your breath that we have to take and change the habits, the motives, the position of our hearts, of our minds, to be realigned, recentered, and regeared towards what you're about, what your will is. So Lord, have your will be done today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. My heart, through this entire series, has been yearning and longing for you, the church, our people, to get a stronger sense of who they are in Jesus, who they are in Christ, who they are as a child of the Most High God, the one who is set apart from all things. My heart yearns for that. I mean, when I see struggles and issues in our church or in our culture or just in the Big C church, like, my heart honestly breaks for it, but then I see it play out in my life, in your life, and then it breaks my heart even more. So I want to keep it simple and wrap up a conversation and point us to the thing that matters most. And here's the lean in. It's Jesus. Sunday school answer, it's Jesus. Amen. That seems to be the answer for everything. But here's the thing. When the stronghold of Christ is over your life, nothing else matters. Doesn't matter what you're facing, what you're going through. When the stronghold of Christ is your life, not that you're making your life about it, but when He is your life and everything about you is all and in all in Christ, it doesn't matter what you face. Now, I know that's hard for us because our brains are finite and we don't think of it in that kind of sense. We get put into a box and our God lives outside the box because He built the box. But we want to condition our hearts and our brains to fit within this way of thinking. And that's just not the way that it works. And it's not the way that it works in the kingdom of God. And we need to break that today. So the stronghold that we're tackling today is really, I'll tell you a sidebar. This week, if you go back to week one and you look at the six that I mentioned, week seven was actually avoidance issues. And I was making the joke like, I'm going to actively avoid this topic. So that's what we're doing. We're avoiding this one because avoidance issues is really played out in all the strongholds. And I'm not going to kind of regurgitate that to you again in a way that you would, and we would all understand, because we know it. We understand that. We like to avoid things, right? But the biggest issue in avoidance and the biggest issue in our faith is that we misplace our faith. Not that we lose it. Okay, faith in something means simply just trusting in it, putting all your life into that one thing and then relying on that thing to get you from point A to point B to Z. Like, that is what faith in something is. So it's not so much that we've lost our faith, it's the fact that we've misplaced it. And what I mean by that is we put it in a lot of other things. So that's the stronghold, is misplaced faith. And today I'm hoping that we'll connect the dots and we kind of pinpoint some areas that you're like, you know what, you're right, I have misplaced it. Or maybe I'm not walking in a manner that is worthy to be called under the Lord. And it's a little funky up here. We've got different things that will kind of play out because I'm sure you're like, what is going on? It's really dark. Usually it's not this dark in here. But it's the way it goes today. But before we get to this, there's a phrase that we often hear that I've heard over and over. And honestly, the longer that I live, the more I hear this phrase. Have you ever heard it or even said it? I've lost faith in humanity. Anybody ever heard that before? Maybe you've said it. Maybe you saw something doing something so evil and you're just like, gosh, I've lost faith in this humanity. Like, God, condemn us now. Burn it down. Like, start over. Flood it again. He's not going to. Just start over, right? We've seen events unfold where we've said that statement. Or maybe we've put our faith in a person, a really good friend, who then betrayed us with that confidentiality that we mentioned. So then we lose faith in that friend. So what do? We cut them off. We go on to the next friend, right? Or maybe we put our faith into a material possession, a car, a house, whatever it may be for you, and then you lose that thing, or disaster happens and your house crumbles and your car burns down or gets in, and you don't have that thing anymore. And you're fighting the insurance. Well, where's your faith at now? Because you put it all in that one thing. So you lose faith in that one thing. Or you put your hope and your faith in the government. Now, over the... Boo. But some of us do. Some of us, from the time we were little, we've slowly, gradually been leaning more on the government rather than leaning on the Lord to lead us and guide us. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of us have. So then when the government does something, we're so quick to be like, oh, that's terrible, I've lost faith in the government. Well, here's an insight. You should have never had faith in the government to start with. And no, this is not a political sermon. We'll save that for later. Or we join a Bible study. Well, let's bring it home to our church. Let's bring it inside the community of which we live in. You put your faith into a small group, or a group of friends, into like a Verge group or something that you're really in relationship with. Man, intimacy, that's the word I was looking for. You're intimate with these people and they know you and you know them. And then what happens is they turn around and start talking, or they discredit you and they tear you down, and then they're no longer doing what the group is meant for, so you lose faith in that, and then what happens is you walk away from the church completely. Because you put your faith in those people rather than the person on the cross. take it a step further. People, and I wanted to mention this last week, and I forgot to, and it made me mad all week long because I said, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it this week. So a continuation of last week was intentional immaturity. Intentional immature Christians often view the pastor as the silver bullet for everything in the church. If we just put so-and-so there, if we can bring our cousin, our neighbor, our so-and-so to just sit under a sermon, guess what? Their problems will be fixed. I do nothing for you when it comes to atonement or salvation. It is only the man that I preach about. But we cannot sit here and view me or this position or anybody in a pastoral, elder, whatever position you want to put over them as anything of authority over your life, only strictly for us to say we point to the one that is the one. So what happens then whenever our pastor starts preaching things we don't like, starts hitting hot topics, starts going against what we, the plausibility structure of what we thought we knew and believed, what happens is instead of having an honest, hard conversation, we just walk away. Brings us back to the commitment issues. We're more quickly to just say, I'm throwing in the towel. There's another church down the road that believes everything that I believe. I had a good buddy of mine who was a brand new person in his church, who's a pastor, brand new. And there was a hill that he wanted to die on. We all have those hills that we're willing to die on, and we have those that we're like, I could care less. His hill was putting American flags inside the sanctuary during like big holidays. Now I'm with him. Like, don't get me wrong, hear me. I love my country, America. It's like the best we can do with what we've got, right? When we look at America, that's we're doing all right for the most part. Besides the government. But I am a Christian before I'm an American. My country can crumble. My faith will not. My salvation is not relied upon whether or not my country survives. Too often, we don't want to hear this. And trust me, I'm patriotic. I got an American hat in my car. Like I'm USA through and through. Like, I'm with you. But my Jesus is my salvation, not my country. When we put any of our faith and hope and trust in anything but the finished work of the cross through Jesus Christ, we've misplaced our faith. I went to a conference once, and on the stage, it was a big illustration. They just had the words thing. T-H-I-N-G. I mean, literally, big letters, T-H. And you just sit and stared at it for a while, and you're like, wait, what is that? What does that mean? Like, what are we doing? Like, that's dumb. Like, why are we doing that? And really, what it boiled down to at the conference was anything that you're putting over Jesus is a sin. Anything that you're replacing Jesus with is a stronghold, is an issue, is a struggle, is something that is pulling you away from, not leaning you to, Jesus. We all have that something. And whatever is popping in your brain, maybe it's your 401k, maybe it's your retirement, maybe it's your health insurance, maybe it's your children, your grandkids, maybe it's, you know, calling them out, maybe it's the crown that they got at home. Whatever that faith is, or whatever that thing is that you're wearing, you're bannering, you're proudly proclaiming as identity for who you are, will let you down at some point in this life. I guarantee it through and through 100%. We have to put our faith back in Jesus. We have to put our faith back in Jesus. So what it boils down to is Isaiah 2, verse 22, says, stop regarding man in whose nostrils is breath, for of what account is he? When we think of misplaced faith, why do we put it in anything that has been created? We need to put our faith in the Creator. The one that merely spoke and everything was in existence. I'm not a smart man. And I'll be the first to admit it. I'm pretty dumb. I do dumb things. My wife will attest to that. But I only have to get this one thing right. I only have to make sure that my walk with Jesus is straight. So what that means is we got to stop putting our faith in other people. We got to stop putting our stuff in humanity. Last week I ended with two things. One, it's not just merely believing in Jesus, because even the demons believe in Jesus. But it's more of the account of, are you following him? Are you passionately devoted to him? So I want to retouch that. Do you follow Jesus like our faith is truly in him? In other words, do you live a life that reflects the trust we have in Jesus? Or are you full of worry, you full of doubt, you full of fear, you full of stress, you full of anxiety, you're full of these things that cripple us rather than strengthen us? I want to lean into God's word heavily for the next second part of today, because there's a parable that Jesus taught that is very common to us, but it's going to play the biggest role in today when we talk about strongholds. Matthew 13, 1 through 9 says, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. The other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." How many of you guys have heard this passage before? It's very common passage. I want to do something with it, though, that we maybe you've never seen. When we talk about our faith and we talk about this parable, there are things in our life that we first must understand, and it's our position in the story. We all have a position in the story, whether you want to believe it or not. Up here, I have different chairs. This first one is a chair that we all know. We've all sat in this chair. Amen, right? We've all been in this chair before. It does the job barely. Like, anybody look at this and be like, "I want to sit in this chair for long periods of time"? Anybody like, "This is the chair. If I'm at a party, we're in here, like, that's my chair. Get away from it." Right? Not many of us look at this chair and say, "This is our chair." This chair represents unbelief. Now, for Christians, we got to pay attention, because you can clearly tell there's a lot more chairs we're going to unpack. So maybe you're here today and you don't know who Jesus is, and you keep hearing me say, "God is good, Jesus is Lord, he's our King, he's the sovereign one above all things that we put our faith and trust in." You're not, I mean, if you don't believe any of that, this is your chair. It is not sturdy, it's not good, it's temporary. This chair will break over time. It cannot stand on its own. Like, it's one of those chairs that is good to grab and just take with you. It has no roots, no foundation, nothing that you can grow onto. Right? Nobody would want to sit in this chair for very long. When we look at this chair, I want you to think of these strongholds: personal autonomy, immaturity, commitment issues, issues with their worldview, issue with comfort and mindset. Every single stronghold we've talked about can come to this chair. So if you're sitting here today and you're like, "Yeah, that's probably my chair so far," I guarantee you you're identifying with one of these strongholds or all of them. So then we move to the chair number three. That's chair four, by the way, four chairs. This is chair number three. We like this chair, right? Is this chair comfortable? You guys are sitting in them. It's good for about an hour, hour and a half, right? This is what we call the pew sitter chair. This is the kind of person that we can classify as lukewarm and content in their faith. They've been to church their whole life. They're not growing. They're not really changing anything. They're not advancing in the kingdom of God. They're just kind of here. They show up on Sunday mornings. They show up on Wednesday nights. They don't really contribute to the kingdom of God. They're that whole spectator mentality when it comes to the kingdom of God, rather than being a contributor. Okay, this is this chair. And now, if you're like a lot of people, this is your chair. You're like, "I'm not identifying with that one. Now that I see this one, like, I'm good with this chair. Like, this is my life." And the strongholds of this chair typically involve immaturity, commitment issues, comfort, and mindset. Like you're here for a reason. You're showing up because you don't believe you got it all figured out, but you're not really disciplined enough to do anything about it. So this is your chair. This is a lukewarm chair. Now in your mind, I want you to start identifying which chair you would be in. This is chair number two. This is, in my opinion, the most dangerous chair. It's comfortable looking, right? Like when you see this chair, you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, that I'm good with that chair. A lot of us get to this point. This chair represents somebody who was raised in church, that knows a lot of passages, that knows about Jesus but doesn't really follow him, but can talk the talk and not really walk the walk. Where they can sit and their biggest stronghold is comfort. Because they're good at faking it, right? The issue with this chair is deceiving. Because this chair doesn't look like this chair in reality. This chair really looks like this chair. Go to the next one. Chair number two deals with every single stronghold just like unbelief. Because they know Jesus. They know enough about him that they know that he exists, but they don't follow him. So when they sit on it, as the scripture says that we can be tossed to and fro, there's no support. Like you can't sit here for long periods of time and then you're swayed back and forth. You're tempted to just be here and then like, oh, yeah, what's going on? And like you're so tempted to not be sturdy in this chair, to not be grounded in a faith that will last. You're tossed to and fro. So this chair turns into this chair automatically. And a lot of us want to sit in this chair because it looks like that one. This chair is danger. This chair is what they call, or as Charles Spurgeon calls, there's an illustration he does about an apple tree that is in a big farm. And it is growing and it is looking beautiful on the outside. I mean, it is a vibrant looking tree. It's an apple tree, okay? It's big. It looks beautiful in the orchard. But after a year, he looks at it and he goes, there's no fruit. There's no fruit from that tree. And he gets frustrated. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to leave it. We'll do some stuff to try to make it grow, try to produce more fruit, produce some fruit. So then the next year, he's like, man, it still ain't producing fruit. Like, what is going on? And year four through five, six, eventually what's going to happen is he's going to cut this tree down. And that happens in our life. Whenever we're pretending and we're faking it and we don't have a realistic, authentic, genuine faith in God, a trust, in a lifestyle that is proof of it, man, we crumble so fast when the wind blows, do we not? So then we go to chair four. Chair four is my favorite chair. Old Faithful. This chair does its job. It's a chair. It's made of wood. There's no comfort. It's sturdy though. This is what faith in Jesus looks like. You can sit in this chair. You will be grounded in this chair. But here's the thing. It's not comfortable. It's not going to be an easy sitting chair. I don't know about you, but my walk with Jesus has never been easy. I had a conversation with someone there, like, I don't have the passion that other people have to do basic spiritual things of just praying or reading my Bible weekly for the matter of not even daily. Like, it's a struggle for me, and that's why this chair is perfect, because it's hard. It's sturdy, though, and it gives you foundation where you know you're not going to fall off. You're not going to be misled. There's no misconception that, oh, this chair is comfortable. I can sit here for a while. No, it is hard. It is vigorous, but it's stability. It is a devoted believer, a disciplined father, and what we would call a heavy hitter for the kingdom of God. Not so much necessarily in what you automatically think, but think those that are going out in the community and teaching Jesus, whose entire life orientation is about who Jesus Christ is. If we go to chair four, that is unbelief. That is the seed on the path. There's no foundation. There's no nothing. It's just there. It gets scorched up. Go back to chair four. We'll go back through all of them. It is the path. If you're in that chair today, please hear me. There is a God who loves you deeply, that cares about you, that knows you in and out. A lot of times we think we're known to people, but being 99% known is still being completely unknown. And that one more percent is only given to Jesus Christ, who fully knows everything about us and we can't hide from it. But here's the warning. It's not a progression. You don't go from there to there to there to there. I want you to go from there straight to there. I want you to go here straight to chair number one. So what chair are you sitting in today? John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He who is who loves me." And then listen, he says, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." The problem with all of these chairs from here over is they replace the gospel of Jesus Christ for a social gospel. And what I mean by that is if it looks good, it helps people, and it's shiny, they're all in. But the moment it becomes hard work, a sacrifice, and difficulty, they bail on it. Do you guys know what I mean when I say social gospel? That means helping people. It means doing like the common good. It means like just reaching a hand and being like, "Hey, I'm my buddy's struggling. Here's $30. Go buy yourself a coffee. Like, you'll get better." But what that social gospel does is it removes Jesus out of it, and it has no atonement work at all. Atonement means salvation work, where it's that stamp on your life that says you're no longer condemned, you're no longer damned to go to hell, you're no longer part of this society anymore. You have the stamp of Jesus that means you are a citizen of heaven, you're just living here in the moment. But a lot of us want to stay in these chairs. So what happens is we play musical chairs. Have you ever played musical chairs before? It's a fun game, right? Not in the Christian walk, it's not fun. Sorry to pop that bubble. But that's what we do we not? As Christians, do we not play musical chairs where we're like, "Oh, I can sit in this meeting and I know every answer. Yeah, but my real faith is actually down here because I don't know who Jesus is at all, but I know every stinking answer." Guys, I love you. I do. I love you very, very much, and I fear God way too much for us to not have a conversation about this because your life depends on it. Because everyone who sits in these chairs down don't believe there's a hell. Because if you believe there was an actual place called hell where your soul is going to go, now I'm not a hellstone brimfire kind of person, but I believe in the heavens and I believe in hell and I believe God is going to be the final judgment on where we end up. Now, heaven is not the destination. My relationship is where I'm going. That's where I want to be. But people who sit in this side do not believe that hell is real. If they did, I guarantee you they would be more devoted to that chair. And back to the question, they would live their life as if they trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So what chair are you sitting in today? My hope and my prayer is that you make a change in the chair you're sitting in. I don't care where you're at in life. I don't care if you're 5. I don't care if you're 95. Your time is not up yet. You have the chance to make it right. Devote your life to chair number one, which is a genuine faith in Jesus. I like what Augustine says about faith. And when we truly understand what faith is, we get this understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. The sooner we unlock what faith is, the sooner we understand who God is. And the sooner we will make the change to sit in chair number one. Worship team, if you guys come up. I want to encourage you today, no matter where you're at, to make a change in your life, to put your faith in Jesus. There are three words that I want you to see and recognize as we get ready to worship our Lord. Revive, recharge, reform. Wherever you're at in your walk, you can identify with one of those words that needs to happen in your life to become a better devoted follower of Jesus, to have a better understanding of who God is over our lives. Some of us have been living a dead faith. We've been going through life in a stalemate with the world. Just you're so flippant about the way you live. You're so ignorant about the possibilities of who God is, that you need to be revived in your life and to be brought back before the feet of Jesus and to declare Him Lord and Savior of your life. Some of us need a recharge. Like, you know how you do when you go on a weekend away from like you've had a stressful week and you just take 2 or 3 days off and you're like, yeah, that felt good. Like I can go at it again. I can pick up the pieces where I left and I'm recharged. I'm refocused. I'm re-able to do what I couldn't do a couple days ago. Some of us in our faith need to have that recharge today, and it means moving from one chair to the last chair. It's a step by step. You just have to do it. Or maybe you need a complete reform. And that means the unbelief chair. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to reform the entire thought process of which you do when you wake up. And say, one, who gave me the strength to wake up? Who breathes the air into my lungs? Who created everything? I can tell you this, it wasn't something that was created. And we need to stop living like it is and stop trusting in the things of this world. Let's pray. God, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for just making you our stronghold, making you the positive thing in our life, because there's so much negativity. There's so many issues that we face on the daily, Lord. But when we trust in you and we hope in you, when we put our faith in you and we realign our life to your ways, to your will, to your word, God, you move. You change things. You're a stronghold breaker. But Lord, let us take this moment and reassess and change our mindset as a stronghold is a good thing. And you are our stronghold. You are our refuge, a mighty fortress tower. God, allow us to live in that. Allow us to embrace that. God, help us not fight against your love and your compassion. Allow us to lean in and accept and embrace who you are today. God, I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't mind, let's stand for worship and then we'll take communion.